really got a love song portion of the evening. And, you know, it strikes me as a non-songwriter that love songs are both ubiquitous but particularly difficult to write. In the case of Sherrod Moon, I know that it's a song inspired by your own life. I actually don't know about Something Real, if that is, it feels like it's your own life also. Yeah. And one thing that these two songs have in common lyrically, and I also want to talk about what they share musically, but is that they're about, they feel like they're about long-standing relationships, you know? Kind of an overlooked area often in love songs, at least in pop songs, you know? Usually it's like, hey, baby, I just met you, you're super hot, let's get on. Respect, Marvin Gaye, let's get it on. That is an important part of the history of popular music. I wrote a whole book about it. But anyway, so let's just talk about writing about long-term relationships and marriage and partnership and the strains in partnership and the loneliness of being separated when you're on the road and all those things. Take it away. Like, how do you do that in song?
Loving Sure the Moon is more in line with that than Something Real.
I think I actually know some of the references in Something Real, which is unusual because I don't usually know anyone's references, but I'm thinking that most of the, yeah. Anyway, high school. It's funny because when you write about relationships and you're in one, you also have to be, it's like you've got to write as if no one's looking over your shoulder, of course, you know, but then you have to, the craft is to edit. But serve the song, but try to do all of it at once. You know, not ever, I don't believe in censoring yourself, but I believe in respecting, you know, the universe in some way. So sometimes I draw from so many different people's relationships, but it's not, you know, which is also a problem. But it could be, in, you know, whoever you're with or your friend or whoever you think. You know, you just aren't always writing about one relationship. And that is, that's the truth.
Right.
Because I have stuff like Hey Lala, my Lala is a friend of mine. And her and her husband Chuck have this really amazing, like, long-standing relationship that's so understanding. And so I threw her, you know, I tip my hat to her now. It's not to her, I'm not in love with her. I'm saying, you know, like, I want to be that bit. I want to be that person that can do that. That's my aspiration. So a lot of times my love songs that have aspirational vibes, which most of them do, because I'm usually aspiring to be better than I am in a relationship, they are inspired by people that are in great relationships.
Yeah. But I'm really surprised that Something Real isn't about, like, a marriage. I totally read that song as being about, like, a middle-aged couple. I'm so wrong.
Well, I don't want to tell you what it's about then, because I love that. I love that you...
It's a country song. It's like a George Jones song or Tammy song.
That is so interesting. It doesn't feel that way to me at all. It's like, it's very much from an experience of high school and then seeing that person who we were super close, like the way that you are close, and then you find out you're gay. So then... So that's in the song, but it's also like when the fall comes and you hear the school band play, and like football is such a huge part of Amy's and my upbringing in high school. And
oh my god, I just realized why I thought it was about a village relationship, because it's Boys of Summer, because that Don Henley song and the whole like football thing made me think about Boys of Summer. So my crazy mind.
These are the fresh boys, you know, out of the field, and their cheeks are rosy. I'm not sure I'm 100% gay, but anyway. The song is a lot about things that are evocative, and that it does tell the story of this particular incident. So, but that's interesting that you took it in that way.
Well, critics, you can't trust them.
that, but.
I once wrote a review of a Pretty Johnson record, and I had this totally elaborate theory of what it was about, and I was totally wrong.
Oh my God, he wrote one of my favorite songs in life, The Mortician's Daughter.
Oh, incredibly great song. Oh. Such a great song.
Yeah, oh wow, I gotta go back and read your review.
Actually, we're gonna talk about it later. But anyway, let's talk about the musical affinity of these two songs. Because, again, I could be totally wrong, but I know that for Share the Moon, you talked about how one inspiration for Amy was driving down Chippewa Road near your house. And I, you know, living in the South, as I do, you get those, that big moon, that huge moon, and I could just see it, and the chords, the way the chords unfold, it feels like driving, you know. And I get a similar feeling in Something Real, like there's motion, and maybe that's also, it's like image of driving through this town, seeing the boys playing football or whatever. So how do you, what is the craft of invoking that kind of motion? Like how, as writing a melody, writing a guitar part, how do you invoke, like what makes a great driving song that isn't Jonathan Richman's Moonrock, which is a great song of all time, but what makes a song drive?
I mean, obviously the lyrics are one thing, but that's, you know, that's obvious. But then, like in Something Real, the guitar part is not got the syncopation and the, what is it, for the A minor looking for, and it runs up. So I remember purposefully, you know, going for that vibe. And but I don't sit, when I'm writing, I don't go, all right, I'm going to create emotion here. I think it's sort of like the sort of alchemy that happens in the writing process. But the song is a lot about motion and movement and life, and then it's about, now that we're done with that, we're in the car. There's a lot of cars in our songs. A car culture, especially in high school. But that, I think that the guitar part in Something Real is very sort of hypnotic, and just so it creates that sense of motion.
Is it a similar thing in Shared
Moon? Yeah, I think I have a writer, Danielle Howell, who I really love a lot, and in her early days, when she still does this, but when I first started listening to her, she was someone who used the bass line of the guitar so much under her songs to make the mood.
Yeah.
And I wanted a feeling of like that repetitive feeling of the crickets and the night sounds and all this, and I actually wrote it in an old hotel room living, in Greensboro. I was working on another record. And I was looking at the moon, it was like 4 a.m. and I was thinking about what it would feel like to be driving down the dirt road to my house right now. And the trailer is about a quarter mile away from my house, and the light's always on, and I was like, what is that person making fun? I was literally, thinking all this.
UFOs, obviously.
Yeah. I wanted a moving line and just to be the backdrop of the song so it would feel that, like what Irving said, that sort of competitive but peaceful feeling.
Yeah. Well, you definitely captured it. I think about Elizabeth Cotton, Freight Train,
I mean, she's one of my, I listen to her a lot just to figure out how to play the part, but like, she's very much involved with a lot of the stuff. So I discovered her later, and I was like, oh my God, where have I been?
If you haven't heard Elizabeth Cotton, please go to the show. Yeah.